I'm also pleased to introduce someone whose voice has always been filled with fire and whose voice has always expressed the cultural truth of our jazz music. Join with me in welcoming the jazz poetess, fire speaker, Jane Cortez.
Well, it's a really great pleasure to be here participating in the second International Malcolm X Conference and to be on this panel of wonderful sisters and sisters Remember Malcolm X. I was exposed to the teachings of Elijah Muhammad and introduced to the works of Malcolm X by Muslim friends in Los Angeles, California in the late 1950s. As a result of those conversations and after hearing Malcolm lecture in person in the early 60s, my thinking concerning many issues changed. I remember being very impressed by Malcolm's clarity, by his spirit of combativeness, by his interest in third world culture and politics, and by his understanding of human rights and the right of resistance. Encountering this information helped raise my consciousness and commitment to the struggle. At that time, I deepened my knowledge of black history, got involved in the voter registration project with SNCC in Mississippi, organized a theater group in Watts before the Watts Rebellion, and in 1967, I traveled to Africa, Asia, and Europe to broaden my outlook, and then moved to New York City, where I got involved with organizing cultural and political events in Harlem. I also started a publishing company to publish my own work and have a firmer control on the rights, content, and some of the distribution of my work and to be independently in my own black stream. Now, this was in the 1960s and early 70s, and that was a time when musicians were producing records, owning recording companies, and gigging in their own lofts. And some visual artists were investing in alternative art spaces, and playwrights, directors, producers, and actors were busy establishing new theaters. And a few other people were starting bookstores and cultural centers. And a lot of this activity came about as a result of Malcolm's influence. In 1991, this conference and the expo are examples of my generation's response to Malcolm. The legacy has been passed. The message is getting through. Even a capitalist retread like Clarence Thomas has to pay homage to some quality of this legacy of struggle. So the path opens up. And when you're on the path, you have direction. Malcolm was giving information, therefore we did not have to get stuck with the limitation of instruction. So the question of how to use the information, how to develop and leave a mark on the path became clear. The path as the legacy provided a context for my work. Malcolm didn't start me writing, but he did provide an area of concentration for the work which was natural to me and to many of the people of my generation and those who came after, and primarily because it's common sense. By any means necessary, think for yourself, control your own community. It's common sense. Malcolm had a great way of relating to events as they happened, which was both philosophically and politically to the point and dynamic. And so, in that spirit, I would like to close my brief comments by reading a poem that I think was really inspired by Malcolm. In fact, I know it, and it's called What's Happening. What's happening? You'll know what's happening when you see Pedro the poet selling condoms and poetry books and hear the man of God choking on his sexual contradictions. You'll know what's happening when you see computers going to sleep on shoulders of their secretaries and hear workers dismantling governments in Europe and in South Africa. You'll know what's happening. What's happening? An intellectual is marching around like a great humanitarian but won't pay his child support. That's what's happening. And on the Lower East Side of New York City, a Doris Day look-alike is imitating the voice of Louis Satchmo Armstrong while the Minister of Unnecessary Information gets his hair curled. Now that's what's happening. The musicians are making facial expressions, acting like they're really playing something complex and are not. That's what's happening. And me, well, I have already dropped a half inch of slobber on a certain line. I have already placed parachutes on two mountains of paper. Okay, it's only one word in 3 hours, but look at you. Your job is to be a singing raisin. He's a dancing cornflake. You're a smiling commode. She's a walking roll of toilet tissue. He falls on the beach like a sack of empty bullet shells. She's forced to sit like a ground-based missile interceptor in the tourist area while Commander-in-Chief invades Panama and shoots Panamanians democratically to enforce human rights and burn up another flag. Now that's what's happening. And battle fatigue wearing Colin and Norman up there talking about war while gigging in the cafeteria. Now that's what's happening. What's happening? There are other drug dealers butting heads in the dark. Other equal opportunity killers on the horizon, other fraudulent financiers manipulating money and doing the hand jive, other corrupt hotel chain owners with nice clothes and dirty drawers. That's what's happening. Meanwhile, the meter maids are still giving parking tickets, and the gospel singers are still taking cliches and beating it to death. And the Christmas tree crews are out discovering the deepest hole of their consciousness in the donut shop. And little ladies in long coats are walking in competition with big ladies in tight pants. And here we are between the emergency exit of a closing bank and the ambulance entrance of an aging nuclear reactor waiting for the economic recovery of our dreams. And that's what's happening.